Welcome back to another episode of Men Explain, and I promise you, this time around, he has nothing much to explain because he looks clueless like the moment he walked in.
Here's the thing. Yes. Men explaining haven't exactly gotten a very good reputation in these last 5 years.
So you're here to make it better.
I'm here to make it better. I'm here to explain, not mansplain.
Yes, exactly. Okay? That's the reason. That's the reason you're here. Please welcome Fakir Faz.
Hey, what's good?
Okay, Faz, I don't know what's been going on, but recently all the shows that I've been hosting and you've been the guest on, related to health-related problems.
Yeah, it's like you guys want to tell me I'm old, but like you guys want to hint it to me, you know, it goes like, what if your eyesight gets bad after you pass 35? I'm like, what
did
is...
I sound like that? No.
No, you don't.
That's the doctor.
That's the doctor. Like, oh, usually past 36, your iris starts to lose power. I'm like, oh, what?
Then, this was on another show. Let's talk about health, by the way. Catch It is still on MeWatch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Catch It past the 15 ads that you have to go through before you catch.
Exactly.
Nice.
But here's the thing. Today, we're talking about something very... very, very difficult to talk about amongst men. It's about male menopause. Have you ever...
Wait, hold up. Okay, I am not very familiar with male menopause.
Okay, what do you think, off the bat, do you think male menopause is?
Listen, Sonia, I am obligated...
I'm listening.
..by the male, by the contractual male, by the male union, all right?
To tell you
that men... don't suffer from any health issues when it comes to anything below the waist. Like, we're all good. We're fine. We can't talk about it. It's very sensitive.
Really?
Yeah.
This is why we need to talk about it.
This is why. And now you are prying in like the secrets, right, of what we go through. I am not aware that men go through menopause. Okay. I didn't think so. I always thought it was a problem that didn't affect men.
Yeah.
You know, we never used it, to our advantage when we lose our temper.
Excuse me.
Okay, you see
that's
that?
A personal attack.
You see that? First of all.
Okay,
all
right. Wait.
Yeah.
So are you saying that you've experienced this before? Like with a partner or with, you know, family members?
Okay. And stuff? I would like to think that I'm very far from the age that would experience this. But the only thing I can do is just guess, right? Yeah. So what I'm guessing you're saying is that when a man experiences something at a point of his life where he is no longer fertile, right? I think menopause is when women are not fertile anymore, right? Mm-hmm. That's what happens, right?
I'm not a biologist.
You're not a biologist. Yeah, when in menopause, it just stops bleeding or what?
No. Okay, yeah.
Then what happens when men stop? We just don't bust nuts anymore?
No. Okay, so that's the thing. Based on the little knowledge that I have, because we also did an episode
stick
on...
comes out, bang.
Another, wow. Can we please zoom in on that one more time?
The stick comes out, and bang,
just nothing.
Sploosh.
No, but that's the thing, right? Because when it comes to testosterone levels and all... It is a very real problem with some men. And we know there are things like testosterone deficiency syndrome. I'm talking like an expert, but it's all the stuff that I learned from the health show.
From the health show, yes.
Exactly. And a lot of guys may not even notice that they're going through menopause. Huh. Or that they're even experiencing symptoms of male menopause.
It's very difficult to talk about this with keeping a straight face.
I know. But you see, the fact that it's so difficult, you're like masking it with laughter.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, this got deep.
So here's the thing. I don't know at what point of a man's life where they would normally be dealing with this experience.
Okay.
But I would assume that is generally when you pass a certain age. Like, I'm guessing maybe in the late 30s. There have been people who are, I can only speak for the community that I'm in, you know. In the community that I'm in, which is the fight community, right? People who usually are in Muay Thai or Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
Some of them experience low testosterone.
Why is that so, you think?
I'm not sure why. Okay. I'm not sure why. I guess everybody varies when it comes to the health respectively.
Yeah.
Right? But the conversation of going to get your blood tested to test your test levels and to see if you can go for testosterone like boost or replacement therapy is not an uncommon conversation amongst the people in the jiu-jitsu community.
Really?
Yeah, it's not an uncommon conversation.
Okay, so tell me more about these gym locker conversations.
Okay.
Locker room conversations. All right.
Let me see. How do I? As I mentioned, the conversation of getting your test levels tested in the jiu-jitsu world is not something uncommon.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I think as we reach a later stage of our physical health, we find that there are certain things that we do or certain things that we want to achieve that are taking a slower time to happen as opposed to when you were younger.
Okay.
So when I was probably 19 or 20 or maybe in my early 20s, the healing process of like a muscle sprain or a bruise even or a pulled muscle.
Like you bounce back immediately.
Yeah, almost immediately, you know. But like I noticed that now it doesn't... Okay, now I know which muscles I can hurt and which muscles will take a longer time to hurt.
Okay.
So I kind of for a very long time, I kind of understand my body really. Yeah. So I understand that if I do this a certain workout and after like one day it's still sore, I know what to do to make the sore go away.
Okay.
You know, so but for the like recovery runs and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't deny that the time that it takes for me to achieve like 100% is slower than it was before. So I've been thinking actually to go get my blood tested.
Really?
To see
for
my test level.
Levels?
To see my test levels, yeah. I Google a lot. So and you, everybody, whatever.
It's our answer to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Everything you Google is real. Yeah. So when.
And trustworthy.
Yeah. So. What Google tells me is one of the symptoms of low testosterone is when a man loses his sex drive.
Mm.
And I haven't exactly been experiencing that problem.
Okay. It's fine. This is an open book.
I haven't exactly been experiencing that problem. In fact, I've been experiencing the opposite of that problem.
Oh, okay. On that point. Now let's expand that point.
No, but one of the... Do you know... Okay, I hate to be talking about my hair, but one of the one of the reasons why men lose hair is usually because they have high testosterone. This is what the doctor told me.
Oh.
So you get very high testosterone.
So this means... By choice.
Huh?
You shave by choice?
I didn't shave.
I never asked you.
I know. So here we are again.
I mean, why would I ask you that? On all the radio interviews we've ever had, we've never brought this up.
Yeah, you never brought up my hair during the interviews. Actually, that was one of the reasons why I appreciated 97.
Oh.
Because you never mentioned my
hair.
I guess
I just took 5 steps back. Yeah. Wait, to be fair, he brought it up. He brought it up himself.
I brought it up. No, one of the symptoms of having too high a testosterone is that you have hair loss.
I had no clue. Did you hear this from a medical professional?
Yeah, I'm a doctor. So one of the things that you need to do to regulate that is to take this pill called Propecia. So Propecia regulates your testosterone or maybe lowers it.
What?
But the problem is it kills your dick. So,
oh my god!
So you want to have a full head of hair, right? And a dick that's not working.
Clearly, you chose.
I chose the Johnny Sins route.
Of course.
So
I'm dead. Right. This is all going up. Yeah.
So now that I'm here, right? I appreciate it, and I've always realized like why. I guess it answered my question as to like, oh, okay, why when it comes to like sports or what? Yeah. Like I'm not the most athletic, but I'm also like not unathletic.
But you're like competitive as well, and you enjoy the game.
So,
and okay,
so I'm somewhere in the mid range, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is why I'm not having problems with it because I have good test levels, right? But I'm not going to deny that as I reach an older stage of my life, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what the test levels look like now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, like, well, it's a good thing that you're thinking about these things and it's crossing your mind, because for a lot of men, they may not even think of going to get such a test done.
Right.
You know, they may not even come to that conclusion. And also it comes in the little things too, like do you get irritated easily, you know? There's also like what is called irritable male syndrome, as what I heard, as what I read earlier. Like you find yourself...
Why is this all news to me, Sonia? Like,
do you find yourself easily irritated
sometimes?
What about
irritable male syndrome?
Yes, IMS.
There is a term. Irritable male syndrome.
There is a term.
Don't women suffer from that? Like,
I mean,
you get irritated by men? Like,
I get irritated. That's not a syndrome. It's a fact.
It's a fact, right?
It's every day.
And you're irritated by us? Like, shouldn't this affect you more than... Wait, okay. So when you say male syndrome, I assume that it is something that makes the man irritated more easily.
Yeah, so more than usual. So frustration, anxiety, you know, maybe you're having a meltdown or something that's hypersensitive in that point in time.
I honestly don't know if I want to relate that to the snowball of things that happen or to me on the everyday like in life.
Yeah.
Or I want to relate that to a chemical imbalance that is happening that will relate to what you're saying right now, which is IMS.
IMS.
Because if it's one thing I've learned is you cannot really blame, it is not wise, right, to blame behavior on
the chemical, time of the month.
On time of the month or chemical imbalance or what. So I'll try to be like, you know what, maybe some things are happening, maybe I need to fix those things around me first before I blame it on a medical condition.
Have you ever gotten yourself in a situation where you sort of implied maybe because you're on your time of the month, right, or you got a period?
Oh yeah, I said it once. I only said it once in my life to my housemate.
And what happened?
To my housemate, she almost threw a coke can at me.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, you're just proving my point.
Yeah. But yes, exactly.
No, but that was the point where actually I laughed it off, but I kind of realized that, you know, like,
maybe it was a bit of an asshole move to say that.
Because she was being very irritable, you know?
Yeah.
And I was wondering like, hey man, these are just little things. Why are you so irritated? Yeah. I'm like, hey, are you, you know? And then she's like, what did you say? And I'm
like,
we could laugh it off because we are friends. But at the same time, I did go back to my room and went like, should have said that. Like, that was probably
had a moment where you sat there and you thought to yourself.
That was kind of out of pocket for me to say. So back to what you were saying, I think when it comes to irritable male syndrome, I'm not exactly aware as to what that would be. You know?
I've got some common symptoms over here. I'm going to read them out to you. See if you've ever felt this way. Okay, any friends? Okay?
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Easily irritable, we've already said. Hot flashes. Have you ever felt like a hot flash before? No.
Good.
How about reduced energy?
Hot flashes is like how? Hot flashes is like,
I've never actually experienced that, so I don't really know what a hot flash is.
Wait, is it like you meet someone and then like
you feel the warmth like creeping up your neck, is it?
I mean, when you're embarrassed, all right.
Maybe. Okay. Out of nowhere sort of situation.
Hot flashes.
Reduced energy. Do you ever not feel energetic?
But usually when I'm bored.
Oh, okay.
Just like, this is boring. And then
you're like, let me just noir somewhere. Okay. Low sex drive, we already talked about that. And you said you had no issues.
No issues.
Like a doctor. Oh my God.
No issues with that, doctor.
And also, I think there could be a sign of like depression or, you know, anxiety and stuff like that.
So that could
also be a sign of some imbalance or certain things changing.
That's just comedian syndrome.
Sometimes when you say that, like, I get worried too, because I'm
the job of a comedian is to analyze something objectively and find the ridiculousness in the said topic or the thing that they're observing. So it's hard for us to pretend sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So because of that, maybe it may lead to like certain levels of depression,
right.
But it's not things that I haven't managed, lah. I mean, I still go to therapy and stuff.
Okay.
So you know, and therapy really helps.
Yeah.
Right. But I've never exactly been in a point in my life where I thought to myself like, I need to take something because I have a chemical imbalance.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I have been considering the testosterone test because I realized that if you boost your test, you know, you could get some dope muscles. So I'm thinking. It's on some Captain America shit, you know, like I want to
and you're gonna lose your beard after that. Like,
oh, that's true. Okay,
don't quote me on that.
Will I lose my beard? I gotta ask the doctor.
No, but real talk. So, you know, you talk about this and we talked about depression and how it links to irritable male syndrome and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes because we see your persona, you know, you're always so happy-go-lucky, you're making people laugh all the time. That must take a lot of energy out of you as well. Does it affect you in that sense? Do you think that sometimes you use it as a defense mechanism in real life?
I think it's so like muscle memory at this point. Mm. On one end, I would love for people to understand what's going on in my head.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel a certain responsibility to make sure that they are entertained while they are listening to it. I don't believe in just protecting your brain from any kind of conflict. To me, that is like, then you are really softening your character.
Mm.
You know, because if you protect your brain from everything and any single conflict that happens to you, only you crumble into this spiral, then you're not allowing your brain to build any kind of resilience, which is very harmful to you in the long run. So certain things, I guess, when I grow, I try to like die, like, you know when they say like, oh, it's very toxic for men to like always tell other men to suck it up, but at some level we kind of have to suck it up, you know, because the reality of the world is the things cannot go if we don't suck it up to some level, you know,
to some level, yeah,
to some level. Of course when it becomes harmful to us, then men should really sit down and talk about it, you know, and cry in no view of other women, you know, like we
so just weird, like, you know, with your five closest friends,
your five closest friends cry while your other friends say, oh, you're so soft, bro. This is not a very bro thing to do, man. Let's eat nails.
Yeah, but that's exactly a typical conversation.
And watch some football, bro. Shoo. Yeah. But, you know, but behind all that, I find that I think there is a certain level of male responsibility for us to understand our position and find a balance between resilience and being open with your feelings. So going back to what you're saying, which is irritable male syndrome, or things that have to do with like the male health, right? Yes, mentally and physically.
That's difficult to talk about with other guys sometimes.
Yes, I do feel, I sometimes will then date, like we'll try and find a connection as to why, let's say if I'm feeling depressed or if I'm feeling insecure about myself. Okay, I feel like, okay, maybe I feel like I'm a little too old, or I feel like I'm fat, or I feel like I don't look good. And then I'll be like, all right, what can I do to change these things? If I'm fat, then I think, am I too fat? Right? Okay, I'm not too fat, I still can do it. So maybe I'll try and incorporate an active lifestyle. Right?
Things,
okay, then maybe we'll just not eat like a bastard. You know, maybe just not. Maybe we'll just eat like a regular
person. Yes,
right, for a change, and not take spoon scoops of Nutella and jam it in our throats.
You
like,
know, this is a personal story, I feel. This is from some personal experience.
I look at myself jamming spoon scoops of Nutella in my face sometimes.
Did? Okay.
And I just feel shame in my heart. You know, with that Nutella in my hand. And
You know what?
I want chocolate.
The thing is, men and women are similar then in many ways. You know, we always talk about this entire show, right?
Okay.
We talk about how men and women can be so different.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where we have officially bridged the gap. Like, you have just, on behalf of your
chocolate,
bros...
That's where we bridged the gap.
Admitted it to us that, hey, we're not that much different after all. Because for us girls, like, we're very open about these things. Like, you know, if I'm upset, or I feel depressed, or if I'm like feeling down about it, or I feel fat, or I feel ugly, whatever, we voice it out super easily to our girlfriends.
Yeah.
And we can sit down and talk about it all day.
Yeah.
And we'll sit there and reassure you how beautiful you are all day. Do guys do that for each other?
My surrounding takes the opposite approach.
Okay.
So I am the... Oh man, they're going to so love this when they watch this. I am the...
You're what? You're the queen bee of the group?
I am the heaviest of the group, right?
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't say fat shame. They do. They fat shame. But they fat shame with love. It's not fat shame that will leave me walking out of there feeling like shit.
Okay.
Especially in that will leave me like, oh man, these guys are, you know, they're my friends though. They're my real friends. They're such, you know, they're such bastards. That's why they rip on me all the time.
Right.
So, and the thing is, because it's always done with humor, that it makes me aware of the situation. Like, okay, I'm getting a little heavy. I can sense that, you know. Yeah. Like, for example, like if we're doing jiu-jitsu, it has a lot of body pressure involved.
Okay.
And then sometimes they'll be like, oh man, fuzz, I can really feel the pressure, man. Oh. No, like, stop like that, you know. They'll be like, oh, is your jiu-jitsu better, or do you just get bigger? You know, that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's things that, I guess, in a way, we keep each other in check. I wouldn't really call it shaming, even though we do call it shaming among ourselves. Yeah. But it's some things where we understand, I guess, to a point where, like, oh, we don't want to allow our friends to, like, cross that line where it's like there's no turning back, you know, because it takes a lot of effort to get to a point where you can't turn back.
Yes.
So we're kind of like looking out for our friend, like, hey bro, you know, like if you still want to do this sport, it's gonna, like, you know, if you want to fight at 76 and you're at 85, it's gonna be very hard for you to cut back to 76. Yeah. So maybe just stay within the 78 range, you know, that stuff.
Was
like
this
that
a real conversation?
Yeah, this is a real conversation. So maybe just stay within the 78 and 80 range, so that if you cut, you only have to cut five kilos, some stuff like that. So I started telling myself that, okay, you know what? You live an active lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, you do jiu-jitsu, and then, you know, I do stand up, you know, and a lot of the times that I have quite a healthy social life. So most of the time, I don't think that if I'm doing all these things right, then I shouldn't really be insecure about the outcome that it provides. Because, you know, for you to achieve like the six-pack washboard app body. Listen, it's
too
dope.
Much effort.
It's dope.
Right? Yeah.
It's dope. Listen, like I want it too, but to maintain that is so.
The commitment is insane.
The kind of life that you have to live to maintain that is just not aligned with what keeps me happy.
This is the thing about men, right? Like a lot of the time, an image or a wall is put up, you know, for a lot of people. And I'm not saying all, because I know of some like very, you know, men who are very in touch with their feelings, who don't mind sharing, who don't mind admitting like, oh yeah, I did this, or I spiraled, or I like did that, or I feel fat, you know, that kind of very open conversations. Mm. But amongst men, sometimes it's tough to talk about these things. Do you think it's embarrassing if you and your guy friends ever raised up the topic of like, hey, how are your testosterone levels?
You see, the issue here is, I want to call it issue, but the predicament here is that we are only seen as the strongest, and we are only seen as the most man when we are able to display strength and we are able to provide. So any kind of weakness, whether it be emotional or physical, will then indicate that there could be a possibility where we could not provide as much as we could before, or we have become less of a provider. And the lesser and lesser a man is able to provide, the less leverage he has on the people around him. You know, like, sad truth lah. Like, if a grandfather is poor and he's old, most of the time he is ignored. Right. You know, he's not taken care of. Oh, but if it's a rich grandfather that has inheritance, everybody suddenly want to take care of him, If he had not built that for himself, to have leverage over his kids and his grandkids, would they have shown him the same amount of love than if he was a poor grandfather?
That's a big question. I think there are two ways of seeing it. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I have also seen and witnessed such situations, such family situations before. But also, I like to believe there's a portion of people out there with a good head on their shoulders, and
that's always what we prefer to understand.
I would like to know that there are people out there
but
like that.
I think maybe because you would relate it to the things that you see around you and the people you see around you, and what I personally have observed is that, oh, okay, once a man is unable to provide, he slowly but surely loses his position among the people around him.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, like on that note, because my friends and I were having this chat as well. Because, you know, our families, our moms, our dads, our you know, grandparents, you know, most of our grandparents that may not even be around anymore, but our direct parents, for example, and aunts, uncles, they're getting older to a point where maybe retired already or they're not working anymore. And one common factor that I found amongst my friends and I were we saying that our dads, some of their dads too, are experiencing anxiety and depression because they feel like useless. In, 100%. You know what I mean?
100%.
So, which also relates to this, because I feel like it isn't just about the age. It's also about 100%. Feeling irrelevant or 100%. Feeling I cannot provide for my family anymore.
100%.
That causes them to spiral into depressive feelings and could also lead to a lot of health problems.
For 20 plus years, you were the man of the house, you were the source of income, you were the source of strength, and you were the protector, you know, of this establishment that is called a family. And then your kids grow up, and then now they can do it for themselves. And then you don't have any upper hand because you've raised them to be better than you. So once they have become better than you, you don't feel like you are of any use anymore. And that is a very common experience among our older men. And that would contribute to, I guess, the menopause or the depression or the low testosterone or low sex drive. That would contribute to that.
And the thing is, you know, based on some research, it is not as uncommon as you think. And a lot of people go untreated because they don't even realize that this is connected, could be connected to male menopause. As we call it, actually, it's called andropause. But they may not even realize that, right? Which really gets me feeling quite emotional sometimes, because I look at my own, you know,
parents,
family members,
and you think
yourself, my own uncles, aunties. It's like, wow, it's a very real thing.
And it's something that men experience, that men experience, which is honestly, I don't know if it's in an Asian environment that
don't talk about your feelings so much.
Talk about your feelings that much, you know, or it's very difficult and so complex, you know, for somebody to even begin to tell you why they are feeling that way at that point of their life. And it's very embarrassing also for a man, because like, for us to be men, we have to be strong, we have to be, you know, we have to be complete, you know, and that indicates that we are less than complete. And but how much lesser? By a lot, actually. And it's very embarrassing for us to expose that also sometimes.
So on that note, right, like you mentioned that you go to a therapist still.
Oh, I do.
Okay, so a lot of men, and you know, even my own girlfriends and their partners, you know, sometimes they're resistant to the idea of going for therapy. And I know it's still something that is slowly normalizing, opening up. More people are going. What pushed you to go for your first therapy session?
I think I'm just trying to be responsible to the people around me. You know, like if I am feeling a certain way and if I am exhibiting certain kinds of behavior, I feel like of course, I would understand that none of you would be equipped to handle it, because I can't expect you to sit down and pry through from start to finish what's going on, right? Fortunately for me, I have the means, you know, and therapy is very expensive in Singapore. Yeah. For you to get a good therapist is very expensive, but I have the means, and I have a friend who opened up a company, and he said, oh, we make it a little bit more affordable for people, right? And so when I went, now here's the thing, I've been to therapy before, but fortunately for me as a comedian, we are able to take things and dissect things objectively, right? So I was like, I'm going to get my hours worth. I'm going to do the dissecting by myself.
Really?
And figure out the source, and I'm just come to you and be like, this is the problem.
You know, wow. What was their response? Huh? What was their response?
And they were like, they're
like, cool story, but let me do it from the start.
Not really. They were actually quite impressed that I...
You're self-aware.
One thing, but also the ego that's involved in you not wanting to see the real problem, you know, right. Sometimes there's that self-denial in you that doesn't,
like, you know it's there,
you don't really want to see it. So the reason why I went is because I wanted to be responsible to the people around me. I'm like, I know the kind of vibe I'm bringing, you know, and I know the kind of priorities that I'm putting, and I am aware of how I'm making y'all feel. So I don't know how to fix it. I don't know why it's like that. But let me go and find out, and I'll come back to you. So that's just me being responsible, and me, to be honest, low-key expecting that from people who are like that around me, lah. Right. So if you're like that and I can't fix you, right, I expect you to like, okay, find that help for yourself, so that we can be together again and communicate again, you know?
Not everyone is at that level of understanding, though, I feel.
For a lot of comedians, it starts off with wanting the approval of the people around you, wanting the approval of like the audience, and wanting people to like you. So I think it started from, oh man, if I want people to keep liking me, I gotta find out what's wrong with myself.
Right.
But then I soon realized that that's not a good motivation, because you can't really control whether people like you or not.
Yeah.
You kind of have to control whether you like yourself or not. Yeah. So I started working on that instead.
That's great. That's great advice coming from you as well. Because I've always thought about this, like, you know, we go to your shows and any sort of entertainment to unwind, to relax, to laugh.
Yeah.
But who do you turn to?
Basically, I think for me, I'm a person that enjoys a social setting. Like, I enjoy socializing. I enjoy laughing with friends. Yeah. You know, and
you turn to them in times of trouble when you don't feel... You're close to a lot of comedians out there as well.
Yeah.
But do you guys talk about this kind of personal stuff? Like, if you're not...
We do.
You know, you're curious about like, oh, I'm not feeling too good, bro. Like,
we do. We do. I think when I experienced a lot of lows in my life, a lot of the comedians will come through and they will sit and they will listen. A lot of the times we give each other space, you know, to express ourselves. Some of them are still not comfortable doing it, I guess. But everybody varies. Like, personally, I don't find any weakness anymore at this point. I don't find any weakness in exposing your vulnerable side. Because to me, is if I expose my vulnerable side to you, then there is no way that you can hurt me already. Because I have then used it as my strength. You know, I have used what I am insecure about or what I am worried that you will find out about. And I've used it to my strength. I have shown you what could hurt me. And if you still hurt me, it's fine, because I've already said it.
Yeah.
I've already said it.
It's a process.
So that's what a lot of the the culture that we try and build, we're like, you know, if we could make fun of the things that hurt us, then at least it's within a safe space where we know we won't hurt each other too bad. Mm. So when we go out and people hurt us, you know, we're ready yeah. and equipped for that. No, that no. is some kind of mental resilience building, but it's natural. It doesn't happen like because we want to be strong. It yeah. just happens because it just happens.
But it's nice to yeah. know that you guys have this support system and you do it, because I think from the outside looking in, people are always wondering, wow, like, you know, in the entertainment industry or like even comedians specifically, you guys never have a bad day. You know, people always think, oh, they're
we
always
do,
of course though. So
days, yeah.
that's the thing that people yeah. don't see about the entertainment industry. Okay, yeah. not even about, you know, stand up, even in my line of work as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of times Joakim and I have come into the studio and we had like the shittiest day ever.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, either one yeah. of us got relationship problem, just yeah. broke up, somebody yeah. Yeah. did something, you yeah, know,
but
like
you still gotta put on a smile.
You still,
and you still
go.
Have to you still have
exactly,
to go.
Exactly. You yeah, still yeah, yeah. gotta go.
You still have to play Miley Cyrus. You still yeah. have to
exactly. You still have you to still, do that.
Miley Cyrus is not bad. Okay, lah, okay, lah. Yeah. Black Eyed Peas is the one I don't. No. Yeah, yeah.
What? What? Wait, what?
Okay, never mind. Let's not get to that. Let's not get to that. Let's
so yeah, so that's the thing, right? People just have this impression that
yeah, yeah. I think it's important for us to even know. And this is one thing that I've realized that is also very important. If you want to maintain an environment that is healthy and that is healthy for you and that's interesting for you. If nobody is texting you, if nobody is showing you love, then maybe it's your turn to show them.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's because receiving a message from someone just saying, hi, how are you? What's up?
Feels nice.
Wanna go out?
Yeah.
It feels nice, right? If nothing is coming this way, then maybe you need to put the energy out.
Yeah.
Put the energy out. Because the outcome of it is something that you want. If you ask somebody out, somebody didn't ask you out, but because of ego, you don't want to ask the person
right.
out. But then you think to yourself, like, you know what? Like, I want to go out. You know, I want to. So then you send out,
yeah.
you know, messages.
Give the energy that
give
you want to receive.
Eventually, the 5 friends that you message or the 10 friends.
At
I
least
mean,
one
you know,
will come
at
back.
At least
right?
one will come through, right? And you'll be like, this guy though. But
but you're like, I have no choice. Okay.
this guy? No, this guy.
Yeah.
I was hoping this would be the last choice. but then eventually you will have something to do. So I always believe that I last time I used to wait and at the end of the day I'll be like, oh, nobody's calling me. But then again, I'm not calling anybody,
yeah.
right? So how am I different from them? You know,
honestly, Faz, this blows my mind because I've never actually sat down with you for a conversation like this before. I never knew
yeah.
this side of you.
Yeah.
And I don't wanna, of course, attribute it to, I mean, we're you're millennial, we're both in
yeah.
the millennial
yeah.
stage, right?
Yeah.
I feel like for millennials and Gen Zs, they might be a little bit more open to talking about feelings and stuff. Do you think it's a generational problem and we're trying to slowly break away from that? Is that what you do you feel that way? No?
My dad doesn't necessarily talk about his feelings that much.
Exactly.
I don't think he was raised in that environment.
Exactly, right?
However, my mom has always promoted that
okay.
among us. Although she may not necessarily understand the complexities that she's hearing because all her kids are in showbiz,
yeah.
you know, so she doesn't necessarily, she tries to understand,
yeah.
but I don't think she can fully grasp what's going on. As far as generational gap is concerned, like, among some friends, I do see that okay, it's hard for you to talk to your friends about feelings and stuff, but I'm very, very pleasantly surprised by the number of people, especially in places that I wouldn't think exist, you know, like the fight world, you know, and they're very open with how things how things make them feel, but they always discuss it objectively, not in a way like to me it's like you can talk about your feelings, but I will never burden you with the what do I do. I always tell you like, oh, okay, I am looking for a solution.
Yeah.
You know, it's if I don't have a solution, then I would ask if you could suggest anything. It would never be a dead end
yeah.
at the end of that conversation. That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. And that's where I feel the burden comes. You know, when somebody throws at you like, look at me, my problem is and then my problem is and then I say, what do you want me to do? Whatever you said all this to me, what do you know? Okay, your life is sad, and then the next day your life is sad again, and then the day after, and then slowly if you hear this person complaining, you will slowly distance yourself away from
true,
that. And people will start distancing themselves because he or she's not looking for a solution. And they end up alone.
To
and then when they end up alone, they spiral and they wonder like, oh, I guess my life is sad. And but the one thing that they fail to see is that people just need to see that you're trying to get yourself out. And you have to verbalize that so that people know. And being capable of verbalizing your feelings is one of the things that I think everybody should learn. You don't have to use big words.
Yeah.
You know, you can use the language that you understand, but it's always very important to sit with yourself, and if you're not feeling good, you always think like, oh, why? What is it? And then and be honest with the person that you think would not and that you know would not judge you based on how you feel, right?
No, 100%. Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, in your various friend groups, including the Fight World, they are so open to chatting about these things. Because according to some interesting numbers, there's a survey. 60% of men only see a professional when symptoms become unbearable. So they tahan until, I really can't deal with it anymore.
What, are we still talking about menopause here?
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. It could be anything. Honestly, it could be anything. 20% of men confess that they only see a professional after their partners nag at them.
Oh, that's severe?
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Most men think, maybe this isn't my business, so I really don't have anything I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But results differ from different generations. So the boomers prefer not to talk about health issues.
No, because they're going to die.
But the Gen Zs and millennials say that they have at least one friend that they can speak with regarding intimate health-related issues, which is what you brought up. So I think a lot of experts and doctors out there, even though this is not primarily a health show, clearly, we're just as clueless as the other.
Yeah.
But a lot of professionals out there trying to educate men about taking care of their health better, especially their intimate life. You know, that's very difficult to talk about.
Sometimes, right, I think about like boomers, right? Like our parents. Sometimes I think about them and when it comes to them and feelings, they have spent so long of their lives getting through life without having to address their feelings.
Yeah.
That for them to do that at this point of their lives, right, it's too late already.
Yeah.
It's too much muscle memory and it's too much callousness that has formed for them to even try and break the habit.
So that's the thing. So when it comes to the older generation, it isn't even about men or women, whatever, it could be either.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some relatives who, you know, they've like chronic pain everywhere. It could be like back pain, like this pain, my feet pain, cannot walk properly, cannot climb stairs anymore. Then we're like, oh, so have you gone for a checkup? No need. They're like, no, I don't want to find out, it's okay.
So it's the mentality.
Like maybe they're already pushing 70 or 70 plus. They're like, you know what, forget it. I just don't want to know anymore. I'm just going to live the rest of my life in pain.
Yeah, because once you find out and then your brain starts to think like, I have it. And then
then you deteriorate. So that could be the reason why they don't want to share too much. You know, it's not just a pride thing, right? You know, I'm so glad that we saw this different side of you here today, Fuzz. It's been great. And I didn't know what to expect coming into this podcast too. We've done a good amount of stuff together. I've interviewed you many times.
Yes.
Always about different things. You know, your shows.
It's usually very hype, you know.
Yes,
it's usually
very
in a
hype
setting where like,
this is more,
Fuzz got a new show.
Exactly.
Tell us about your show,
Fuzz. This is more intimate, you know, with the fake plant behind the rug and my shelf behind here that's very intellectual.
Yeah.
So what are some tips you want to share with your bros out there? You seem to have grasped the concept pretty well of, you know, not just understanding yourself, but also the dynamic amongst your other guy friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to share with our dudes out there?
I think what's most important for a lot of men to understand is that we have to see what is the main objective whenever we're feeling uneasy or we're feeling disturbed by something negative. So, for example, if you are feeling jealous, it's because let's say if you're feeling jealous when your partner is talking to someone else, the jealousy doesn't just stem from her talking to someone else. It also stems from the insecurity that you are feeling towards yourself, and it stems from the fear of you losing her to someone better than you because you don't feel like you're good enough. It stems from you fearing that everything that you've built with this partner, it will be ruined based this is just one example, right? Because of a temptation. So when you create that narrative in your head, it brings you to a worse place than if you actually went up to her and was honest
open
with your feelings.
It. Yeah.
And it's very important that you communicate and tell them that this is not an attack. When you do this, this is how I feel, you know? And I guess it's still a two-way thing where they will be like, would you like me to reassure you that this wouldn't happen? And then that you opened up that possibility for her to do that, you know, just by speaking to her or just by addressing your feelings and take that concept and apply it to the many things that you could do in your life. That's just one concept, which is relationships. When you were talking about work, you know, you could always be honest with the people at work. even if the honesty means that it makes you look like you are, it makes you look vulnerable. Mm. Sometimes that is sometimes that move can propel you forward because now you are in a more comfortable space to move. Making sense.
And we're not just talking about relationship issues or emotional related stuff. It's for men also, like when it comes to the health issues and the mental health issues as well. You know, both physical and mental.
Yeah,
it can be very challenging to bring up. And I think you brought up some very good points as well. Being open and honest, it never hurts.
It never hurts. In fact, I mean, the cliche is it'll set you free.
Yeah,
you know, and it really does a lot of the time because. Because at the end of the day, the ego doesn't really pay. The returns you get from keeping your ego is not really worth anything.
And these health issues, you know, both mental and physical, could happen to anyone at any age.
Yeah.
You know, I personally know a guy that's even younger than me who's suffering from certain issues.
Yeah.
And he did not want to open up about it for 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years he suffered and did not speak to anyone until he found a trusted friend to talk to. So you are absolutely right.
Yeah, physical. Yeah. Like I started bowling at 25. Now I have 40-year-olds looking at me, going, "How old are you again?"
So just be like, "I did this by choice."
Yeah. But then when I found out the reason, I'm like, man, listen.
Let me flex it now. That's my reason.
Listen, I tell you why I'm losing this hair. Let me tell you why I'm losing this hair.
I'm happy to tell you. Faz, thank you so much for joining us here today. And if you're tuning in right now, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Men Explain. If you enjoyed it, please hit the follow button. We're available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yes, and don't forget to follow itsclarity.co on Instagram and TikTok, where we show you all these TikTok moves. We don't, but follow us anyway. Who knows? Could be your lucky day.
See you next episode. Bye.